Title of our study tonight is My Spirit Was Troubled to Know the Dream. And we're looking at the first half of Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 to 30. And then next week, of course, Lord willing, we'll start to look at those dreams. And that's going to be a very interesting section too. So I'll read through here. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and all the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream. My spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. He can't remember it. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. They were going to stall. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there's none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah and his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of the God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and have made known unto me what we desired of you. For you have now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore, Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into my mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart." So we're told in God's word to let all things be done decently in order. And the order of events in Daniel's life is therefore significant in regard to how the Lord prepared him in advance to be made ready to interpret the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2 of Daniel. What the body of Christ have to do in order to be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear is sanctify the Lord in your hearts. God will take care of the rest, and if he's doing that too, he's giving us that desire. The sanctification process is typified by eating the right foods and rejecting the king's food, the portion of the king's meat, which was looked at in chapter 1 of Daniel. And God is the one who is able to sanctify us through Christ, who has made that very request of our Father in John 17, verse 17, on our behalf, so that we can come out of Babylon and be saved by grace through faith, which is a gift of God given to the body of Christ. 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." When God's word sanctifies us, it prepares our hearts to stand up against the powers and principalities that we wrestle against in our heavens, typified in the second chapter by King Nebuchadnezzar. Having done all, we stand with a clear conscience and are now able to understand how these verses in Peter, 1 Peter 3, verse 16 to 22, apply to the body of Christ in regards to the sanctification of the Lord God in our hearts, of verse 15. Daniel's many fiery experiences in his life, including this one with Nebuchadnezzar, typify for us what the body of Christ will go through and be blessed to endure through Christ. "But sanctify the Lord in your hearts, the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ, your way of life. For it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Daniel is a type of the elect who has been made ready to suffer for well-doing, and his God-given ability to interpret the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar will deliver him and his friends from the king who was intent on killing those who could not interpret these dreams he had. Satan's goal is to sift us like wheat, like this king wants to sift him. But the gates of hell won't prevail against the body of Christ. However, that does not stop the adversary from doing all that God's counsel permits, even to the point that he would deceive the very elect if it were possible. The very elect of Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, is also represented by Noah, who was one of those eight souls preparing the ark at that time. The preparation of the ark represents the sanctification process we've been talking about going on in the body of Christ, who are continuing in the truth, making us ready for the storms that will come up against us in this life. As always, we're not looking solely for some dispensational interpretation of what the second chapter talks about, but rather, first and foremost, asking our Father for the understanding of how these prophecies and events in the life of Daniel apply to us today, right now. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls, notice the word souls, of the disciples. The eight souls were saved by water represents those disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things, including these events, happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So that's their introduction. Verses 1 and 2, the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers and Chaldeans to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. The first signified statement we want to take note of in this verse is that these dreams that Nebuchadnezzar dreamed were in the second year of his reign, meaning they're going to witness against something wherewith his spirit was troubled. Sending the word of God results in healing, but as always, there is a process that must take place in order for this healing to take full effect in the ones that the words are being sent to and witnessing against. And of course, Revelation 1:1 tells us the words of God are signified from Genesis to Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which gave God unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. He sent his word and healed them. Psalms 107, verses 20 and 21, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And that's what those works are, that healing that he's doing within our lives and strengthening us and giving us trials, but then strengthening and healing us with his word. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall accomplish, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Whether that's in this age or in the lake of fire, God's word will not return void. The prophecies that are connected to the dreams that Nebuchadnezzar had ultimately brought him to acknowledge the power of God working in the life of Daniel. Seeing he was able to interpret what no one else is able to interpret. Daniel represents the angel of God that is used to help us understand the truth of what remains, a hidden, sealed parable in our heavens, until the Lord brings his messenger or angel to us to show us that the dream is one, simplifying the message. The dream is one principle for us so that it becomes clear in our heavens. Christ in us, our hope of glory, is that angel who gives us the ability to speak the truth plainly and speak no proverb. His disciples said unto him, lo, now you speak plainly and speaketh no proverb. John 16, verse 29. Revelation 22:6, and he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. In Acts 8:31, and he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And the man, of course, is Christ Jesus in us. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So he mediates through the body of Christ to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And it's always through Christ, but in the church. Genesis 41:25. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, this is 2 Corinthians 11:3, through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity. And that's the word is singleness. And that's, again, missing the point that the dream is one. That's how the devil tries to take our mind off of that, the simplicity, the singleness that is in Christ. God's sovereign hand was upon Nebuchadnezzar, causing these very detailed dreams so that wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him, which symbolizes the second part of this verse of John 3:36. He that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Nebuchadnezzar typifies our old man of sin that must be troubled in order for God to get our attention. The dreams that Nebuchadnezzar had got him looking for answers. And like all those that God works with, we must first go into Babylon and seek the counsel of those who have no true spiritual insight, typified by the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, that Nebuchadnezzar reached out to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. Verses 3-6. And the king said unto them, I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servant the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses will be made a dunghill. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans coming to the king speaking in Syriac typifies for us how the world hears the world in their own Babylonian language. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He that knows God hears us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. This was a work of God that was not going to be understood or interpreted by the unbelieving who are represented by the Chaldeans and Nebuchadnezzar. Then the severity of God against our old man is expressed through what Nebuchadnezzar says to the Chaldeans. The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. These Chaldeans were stopped dead in their tracks with this part of the king's statement, the thing is gone from me, especially seeing the consequence of them not being able to answer it would mean their death. This dream was forgotten, and yet the king was insisting that it be remembered and interpreted, or they will die. The spiritual lesson for God's elect is that if the dream that is one, the singleness that's in Christ, is forgotten and not interpreted, we will die in our sins. I said, therefore, John 8:24, I said, therefore, unto you that you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. You shall die in your sins. Then the second part of the sentence, if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. It reminds us that the dream can be interpreted by Christ and his Christ, who have that great honor, gifts and rewards and great honor of being able to interpret the dream today in order that we might be in that blessed and holy first resurrection as a result of continuing in the truth and enduring to the end of this life. All, of course, by the grace of God and through the faith of Christ. The dream will be interpreted by God. and it takes the destruction of our flesh, the you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill, to happen in order for us to live unto righteousness. Christ has done that for us, and we are now doing that for each other as we follow his exemplary life. The dream is truly one. John 8, verse 24, I said therefore unto you, oh yeah, I read that, in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, and we are his body. We have to always remember that when we read passages talking about Christ and his body, it's directly connected to us. So who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And that brings to mind Galatians 2:20. We know that we were crucified with Christ, and we live, therefore, as a result of that, by the faith of Christ, Christ living in us, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Verses 7 to 9, they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dreams, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing has gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. These magicians and the astrologers and sorcerers and Chaldeans, these four, representing the whole world, were feigning not hearing him the first time when he said, the dream has left me. And so they asked again, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. And the king saw through their delaying tactics and basically said, I knew you would take this approach of asking me again and stall for time, because you see the thing has gone from me. And who could blame them? Because this was a life and death moment. In type and shadow, the king is not going to have any part of this carnal reasoning that has tried to preserve its flesh through the wisdom of men and not the power of God. And that's really the spiritual lesson. So they are between a rock and a hard spot here for our sakes, to show us that it is only God who can make a way where there appears to be none. Verse Corinthians 10, verse 13, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to men. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. The king then insists that there is only one fate for these lying messengers who have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. In other words, until the situation just blows over and is no longer a pressing matter. No, he won't settle for that, and goes on to say, therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. Nebuchadnezzar was being driven to know what these dreams mean. It seems a matter of life and death to him, as it is a matter of spiritual life and death for the body of Christ. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation thereof. It is this God-given desire to hear the voice of the only true shepherd that can show me the interpretation thereof. Isaiah 33, verse 6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. John 10, verses 4 and 5, and when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. John 8, verse 31 and 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This persistence of King Nebuchadnezzar also typifies the zealousness of Christ, who is consumed for the temple that we are, wanting to show us what the dream is and the interpretation of it through the zealous work that he is accomplishing through a peculiar and zealous people, who are called, like Christ, to drive out the sheep, the oxen, and pour out the changers' money and overthrow the tables within us. John 2, verses 14 to 17, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting in. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the money changers, the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Titus 2, verses 14 and 15, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Verses 10 and 11, the Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there's none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. These next couple of verses demonstrate for us in type and shadow the spirit of Antichrist that is in the world, with such phrases as, there's none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh, and there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. And this is true. No carnal man could show these things, and we don't need a carnal man teaching us, as it says in 1 John there. But we do need to acknowledge that Christ has come in the flesh, and that there is a remnant that God has preserved through the Spirit, his Spirit, who have the hope of glory within them, and are as such able to interpret the dream and be used of God to overcome the spirit of Antichrist that is in the world, that is in this world, and has been in this world from the very get-go. Daniel typifies for us just such a man. 1 John 4, verses 2 to 4. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So I put Colossians 1:27, of course, and Romans 8:9, which the hope of glory, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And Romans 8:9, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then 1 John 2, verses 27, 28, but the anointing, the unction, which you have received of him abides in you. You need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even it has taught you, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, you may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So that word abide there in 1 John 2:28, same word here. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue abiding in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I didn't check that, to be honest, but I think it would be the same word. We could check that after. But the point is true, that abiding and continuing in the word is the same word. Daniel 2, verses 12 and 13, for this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth and that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Nebuchadnezzar, at this stage of the story, represents the beast with the 10 horns that hates the whore, represented by the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans. typifying Babylon or the church systems of this world, false prophets who cannot be of any help to the king, all by God's design. Revelation 17, verse 16, and the 10 horns which you saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now, verses 14 to 19, then Daniel answered with the counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the Lord of heaven concerning the secret that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel is now sent forth with the counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, wanting to stay the hand, obviously, of Nebuchadnezzar, who planned to slay the wise men of Babylon. This reminds us that God must send forth his word to bring about healing. And he does it through his little foal, typified by Daniel in this instance, who asks this question of Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions, which is exactly what Daniel's being used to do here. Daniel typifies for us what we must do to stay the wrath of God against us as we cry out day and night for each other to be avenged. It doesn't mean we're not going to have trials, but we'll, as we read on, we'll see what I'm saying here, and are heard in that we feared God as Christ did on this earth. These events with Daniel going to Arioch typify for us kissing the Son now, lest he be angry, of Psalms 2, verses 12. Daniel was asking and seeking and knocking, as we should in our pursuit of truth, and his diligence was rewarded, and he was given the audience with the king that he needed in order to ask that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Luke 18, verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Hebrews 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Psalms 2, verses 12, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. After Daniel made this request to Arioch, whose name means lion-like, he made the situation known to his three companions. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah's companions. This typifies for us how we need the body of Christ, each member, to be a joint supplying in love, praying fervently for each other, prayers that will avail much. The three men demonstrate that we are in this process together as one body, with the same spirit that is offering up these prayers like incense day and night. Revelation 8, 4, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the four beasts in Revelation 4, verse 8, had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. It is after Daniel goes to his companions and asks of them that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon, that then, after he did that, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Then and not before. Our old man has to be dead, symbolized by sleep, in order to perceive the spiritual instructions that God gives us in this life. Job 33, verses 14 to 18, for God speaks once, yea, twice, yet man perceives it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men and slumbering upon the bed, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Then he may withdraw men from his purposes and hide pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Verses 20 to 23, and Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and have made known unto me now what we desired of you, for you have now made known unto us the king's matter." Now, Daniel offers up the sacrifice of thanksgiving to God, acknowledging him as being the one who has given the wisdom and might that are his to give. He also acknowledges the sovereignty of God and that he is the Father of lights who gives every good and perfect gift from heaven by saying, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Then he goes on to show how God answers us so abundantly above what we can ask or think. Otto always quotes this now many times. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. With this sentence, he revealeth the deep secret things. He knows what's in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Daniel then thanks and praises God, who has given him wisdom and might and made known unto him what he desired of him. This all pointing to a type of the elect whose praise is continually upon our lips for his mercy and love toward us in this age, revealing great mysteries to us that prophets and kings have desired to know and have not known, as Christ told us. Hebrews 13, verse 15, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Luke 10, verse 24, "For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." Verses 24 to 28, "Then therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar, which shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon the bed are these." These last verses we'll look at tonight see Daniel going to Arioch, whom Nebuchadnezzar ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon, beseeching him to destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Daniel then is brought before the king in haste as one of the captives of Judah, symbolizing for us that when we are slaves to Christ, living sacrifices whose whole lives are dedicated to his service, we are then given the spiritual riches we need through him to accomplish the works that God has called us unto in this age. Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." The king asks him if he can make known the dream and the interpretation thereof, and Daniel gives a very clear witness for our sakes to make known where this understanding and interpretation is coming from. Firstly, he tells them there is no revelation in the earth that is going to benefit him. The secret which the king as the men it cannot the wise, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. And then he contrasts that declaration with, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. As for thee, verses 29-30, O king, your thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, which should come to pass hereafter, and he that revealeth secrets makes known to you what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have, more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. The thoughts of the king were given to Nebuchadnezzar upon his bed, a place that symbolizes where we are spiritually asleep and not able to rightly divide and discern the vision and dream that is one. Unless the Lord sends a prophet of God to us who also received his vision in a dream and by the grace of God was able to understand the dream. The king in the earth is receiving knowledge and dreams that he is not permitted to remember, so that Daniel, the servant of God, can come along to say, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than anything, any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that you might know the thoughts of your heart. This is the heritage of the saints being discussed here in type and shadow, as saviors will come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau with the knowledge that they have been blessed to read, hear, and keep in this life for the sake of others, to a world that has been spiritually asleep and deceived of the devil. God ultimately gives us that knowledge for the sake of others, that you might know the thoughts of thy heart. Obadiah 121, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And Isaiah 54, verses 16 and 17. Behold, I have created the smith that blows the coals in the fire, and that brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And all men will be hated of all men. Just think of that as we're reading this. Will be hated by all men, not just now, but in the second resurrection. They're not coming up when they find the truth. They're not loving what they're hearing, but they will be chastened and scourged and be saved by grace through faith. So no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, the great white throne judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness is of me, saith the Lord, all because of what the Lord has worked in our lives by his mercy today. Revelation 1, verse 3, blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In the next study, we'll get into the actual dreams and their meaning for the body of Christ. That's verses 31-49. That's our study. Thank you all for coming out.